Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Some elements of the religious right having to kind of make a, dare I say, strange bedfellows arrangement with Donald Trump in order to continue fighting the culture war.
Once we reduce this to gospel, in quotes, then the doors are wide open to do anything else we want to in the theological realm.
It's not because of the man Luther. Luther would say, not me, Christ. Christ alone. Look to Christ.
Kids, we reincarnate in Indiana. Have a mom and love Issues Etc.
The new Concordia commentary on Hebrews is Issues Etc. Book.
There's no doubt that the Bible, from beginning to end, is full of the miraculous. The miraculous being simply God acting sometimes in baffling and sometimes unexplainable ways, hearing creation. Sometimes it's a big miracle or kind of the big stage productions like, well, creation. That's miraculous in and of itself. There are other miraculous deeds that are of smaller size and proportion, but from beginning to end, there are miracles being performed in the Bible. It's not as though they are considered run-of-the-mill. They are always surprising. They're always shocking and sometimes unexpected. Jesus' own ministry is one of miracle working, up to and including his own resurrection from the dead. What about today? How should we regard claims of the miraculous today? We don't want to say God can't. The real question is, does God still perform miracles in the way that he did there? These kind of flashy, sometimes not so flashy, miraculous events in the Old and New Testaments. What do we make of claims that, well, some guy's over there doing miracles? What's the role of miracles in the Christian faith? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, October the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're going to talk about miracles that authenticate Christianity. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites to play for you, one from Jennifer Roback Morse, one from Bishop Keith Ackerman, one from Craig Parton, and one for Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. After we've played those four, you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, and vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can also send us an email with that vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, miracles that authenticate Christianity, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of an internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
In general, how should we approach and regard claims to the miraculous from Christian circles today?
With a lot of skepticism. And there's a few reasons for this. We're not saying that God cannot perform miracles. That's not what we're saying at all. However, in the charismatic movement, they point to modern day miracles as kind of like epochal events that substantiate the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, is moving among their ministry and things of this nature. Now, I'm going to politely push back on something that you said at the beginning of this segment, and I'm going to note something in the history of Scripture. Yes, Scripture is full of miracles, but if we pay attention to who performed miracles in Scripture, we're going to note that there are three kind of primary places in Scripture where we see miracles. For instance, Abraham did not operate in miracles. He was a man of prayer. When things became difficult for him, he would be on his knees praying to God. He was not a miracle worker. Jacob wasn't a miracle worker. Moses was. and Moses was an author of Scripture. And then miracles pretty much go quiet again until another group of people arise, and that is the school of the prophets. And it was the prophets who were responsible for putting together the rest of the Old Testament. So when we think about the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Moses operated in miracles. That was a sign gift that God was the one speaking to him. The school of the prophets, you know, you think of Elijah and Elisha as kind of primary guys here. And that school of the prophets, when you read, you know, like 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, there are references in there that make it clear that it's the school of the prophets who were working with Elijah and Elisha, who were the guys who put together the rest of the Old Testament. And then things are quiet again. And then in the New Testament, it's the Jesus and the apostles who operate in the miraculous. And over and again, these are seen as sign gifts. And it's important that these signs followed them, because those signs made it clear that God himself was the one who was speaking to them and through them, and that what they ended up writing was Scripture itself. So today, you know, a little bit more of a history lesson. If you think back to the time of the Reformation, here we are literally on the eve of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And it's important to note that Rome really actually kind of put out a challenge to the Lutherans fairly early on. And the challenge went something along the lines of, what miracles can you Lutherans point to substantiate this gospel that you're proclaiming? This is Roseborough's paraphrase of history. And Luther and the Lutheran reformers were quite wise in pointing to the fact that the miracles that substantiate the gospel that we believe, teach, and confess are not found in any miraculous workings by Martin Luther or any of the other reformers, but instead the miracles performed by the apostles in Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about miracles and miracle history, it's important that we have things anchored in the right spot. And where we have to have things anchored is not in present-day miracles, but in the miracles of Scripture. And as boring as that sounds for so many people today in the 21st century, that's an actual vital thing, because if you're looking in the wrong place for miracles that substantiate things, you might be tricked by kind of parlor tricks or tall tales and stories, and as a result of it being kind of forced into focusing on a history that has nothing to do with the biblical history that is so vital for us to understand that we are actually still a part of and participating in even to this day.
So very briefly, we do need to note, since you mentioned parlor tricks and kind of old wives' tales and stories, I would guess, and you can correct my percentage here if you want, probably 99% of what passes for, hey, they did a miracle over there on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. is parlor tricks and stories.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. And I want you to think of the ramifications here. Could you imagine if Benny Hinn was actually operating in truly miraculous signs and wonders? What that would mean regarding the body of books that he's written over his lifetime? If God is the one substantiating his ministry and his teaching and doctrine through the operation of miracles, that would mean we would literally have to add Benny Hinn's books to the back of our Bibles, because he's operating in the same signs that the apostles did, that Jesus did, that the prophets did of the Old Testament, as well as Moses. It would be actually quite devastating if he were really able to pull off miracles.
So you've brought some examples, I assume. What have you brought?
All right. We're going to be listening today, and I know this is, it's a little bit of a complex topic. We're going to be listening to the Apostle James Gall. Now, you have to put the word apostle in air quotes, because he's not an apostle, but in the NAR, he's considered to be one. And he is at a church in Nashville, and we're going to note here that he's going to be pointing to miraculous events. He's not going to be talking about, you know, people rising from the dead or things like that, but he's weaving together a history that he wants the people there to feel like that they're a participant of, and it's anchored in different historical miraculous outpourings and events that God the Holy Spirit apparently was behind. And so the first one's going to be geopolitical. Let's listen in as he kind of sets this up.
We aren't living in a crossover period and season. I will do this introduction quickly. We're dealing in 50s. We're dealing in Jubilee patterns right now. And so it is 50 years that last month, at the end of the results of the Six-Day War in 1967, Jerusalem became a united city under Jewish rule. That is fulfillment of biblical prophecy. 50 years we're celebrating that Jerusalem is no longer a divided city. Sectors, yes. But it is a united city for 50 years. And the book of Joel gives a warning. It does not say he who divides Israel, what it prophesies and specifically says, is that he who divides Jerusalem. And people actually quote the verse wrong. But what it literally says, it gives a warning and a blessing. And there's a warning to not touch and not divide Jerusalem. So how about covenantal understandings of, like, when a marriage is done, what God has brought together, let no man bring asunder. And so I, at a 50-year mark, and I have done this in Jerusalem, I've done it live over God TV and around the world, and I do it tonight in the name of Jesus, and I say, what God has joined together, let no man or no political incorrect system bring asunder and bring division in Jesus' name. Because we're in a turnaround season, and this new ambassador of the United States that has been appointed by President Trump is an Esther for such a time as this.
Okay, I'm lost, Chris. I'm completely lost.
So he's pointing to the miraculous reuniting of Jerusalem 50 years ago, and now it, you know, in the nation state of Israel. He sees that as an anchor point, if you would, of the season that we are to find ourselves in. 50 years ago, that occurred. We are now in another season of 50s because God works in Jubilee seasons. And so we should see other miraculous events that we are to be a part of. So you're going to note here something. Part of the reason why you're lost, Todd, is because when you think about the kind of the story that you find yourself in and the miracles that you point, that we are to point to, you are actually trained by the church year and the liturgy. And this is an important thing. You have to keep this in mind. By following the church year over and again, we are reliving, re-experiencing seasons of Christ's life and ministry and teachings and miracles. If you think of Holy Week, this is an important part of the church year, and we get to meditate in the scriptures along with Jesus during real time, from his triumphal entry into Jerusalem to his Maundy Thursday establishing of the Lord's Supper, his sufferings that begin overnight on Maundy Thursday and then really pick up on Good Friday, his death on Friday afternoon, his Sabbath rest in the grave on Saturday, and his victorious resurrection from the grave on Sunday. These are the things that we are anchored into, and our theology is intimately hooked into that history. But in evangelicalism, and this is kind of an important thing, is they have no concept of these things, and they don't go back over that track over and over and over again like we do who follow the church year. Instead, for them, kind of church history began really recently. I think back to the, you think of the Peanuts cartoon. There was a Peanuts cartoon that was really kind of funny. You can find it if you Google it. And it shows Charlie Brown's sister writing an essay about church history. And she says, well, church history, let me go back to the beginning. My pastor was born in September of 1930, you know. And so they have no concept of church history, even biblical history, truly, and then church history kind of springing out from that. There's no connection to that at all. Everything is recent, and we're looking at kind of modern day memories of miraculous events. And this is then where they orient themselves doctrinally, and where they are looking for God to be acting and things to be happening and things of this nature. So the one of the reasons why you're totally lost is because you're oriented in a different history. But this is the history that catechizes and orients people in the charismatic movement, and it's not anchored in the scriptures. It's anchored kind of beginning with modern day history of the nation state of Israel, as well as the current movements of God. That's the next thing that's really coming up.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity Today, the miracles that authenticate Christianity. He's brought some examples of the claims of miraculous that authenticate Christianity. We'll have a few more on the other side of the break. After we conclude our conversation with Chris, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
If you plan to buy one item commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I highly recommend the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's titled The Reformation. You'll want to display this richly illustrated book on your coffee table, in your church library, or anywhere you can easily flip through this informative and beautiful book. The Reformation is written by regular guest Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Learn more about The Reformation at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Let's just take this one tenet of the sexual revolution, that you can build a whole society around the premise that sex doesn't make babies. Okay, newsflash, people, sex makes babies, okay?
Provinces that have shrunk in size and in prominence are the ones who have gone the way of the culture. And so the Church of England just has to look at its empty pews Sunday after Sunday to recognize the clock is ticking.
We're not about defending every Christian's moral behavior in the history of the church. The fact is the church has been full of 100% sinners from the beginning.
So Thanksgiving arises out of that recognition that faith sees behind the daily bread the will of God for us, which is only possible because Christ died for us.
Just a taste of the four sound bites we're going to be playing for you here in about 10 minutes or so when we play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest in the meantime. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the miracles that authenticate Christianity. Okay, so first of all, we've got a different kind of church history going on here that we heard before, and I don't think we have time to deal with all the details he was throwing around there. What's the next example you've brought for us here?
All right. So we're still in recent church history, but again, that's kind of the important thing because their theology is springing from that. I'll let him explain kind of recent events within the charismatic movement.
We are celebrating a jubilee of 50 years that Jerusalem is a united city under Jewish rule. We're celebrating a 50-year mark. That 50 years ago, and I know that there's give and take on what began when and where and all. I understand those issues. But it is very appropriate and accurate to say that we are also in right now, in this year, we are celebrating three streams of the Holy Spirit that got released 50 years ago. The charismatic movement 50 years ago in 1967. Some would say it started in 1963, but let's say there's the tipping point, 1967. The Jesus People movement on the West Coast in 1967 with Lonnie Frisbee and Chuck Smith and thousands of young people getting baptized in the ocean, and it spread across the United States, and it spread to many nations and cities. And Nashville was actually, at one point, in that period of time, was called the Third Coast. East Coast, West Coast. And at times, Nashville was called the Third Coast. Because why? There was a man who I look a lot like today. Who welcomed the Holy Spirit in a church of Christ. And the Holy Spirit started getting poured out, not only there, folks, all over. I was in Kansas City. It was an amazing time.
Well, he's now getting into kind of more recent charismatic history. So let me see if I get this right. The signs that he's now going to be pointing us to authenticate the message of Christianity today are the unification of the city of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
the charismatic movement, mm-hmm. and the Jesus People movement.
Yes, and you'll note that he said it very quickly, something very important. He said that the Holy Spirit was outpoured 50 years ago. And that is a major miracle that people in the charismatic movement point to validate Christianity and to validate their own doctrines and beliefs. But you see, since I've been a Lutheran, every single church year, we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, and the texts take us back to right after the ascension of Christ with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. And so the history and the doctrine that flows from it that we point to miraculously is not 50 years ago some outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but an outpouring of the Holy Spirit nearly 2,000 years ago. And so, you know, you sit there and you think about just the implications of this. Which are you going to believe? And if you're putting the emphasis on some so-called outpouring of the Spirit 50 years ago, what do you do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago? Did the Holy Spirit get dammed up? I mean, you know, did they create a dam to keep it from flowing into the church and they broke the dam 50 years ago? That's kind of how they're talking about this. And you're going to note then that this then becomes the history and the miracles, the pinnacle miracle moments that they are then being catechized into that they think that they're a part of. Whereas over and again, the church year points us and anchors us historically in the biblical text and sees us as part of the holy Catholic and apostolic faith, whereas they are part of the new and improved outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has just been released over the last 50 years. Which kind of begs the question, are they even talking about the same Holy Spirit? And soundbite number three is going to make it clear that theologically, we got some major problems here.
And 50 years ago, it was as though bowls were filled and got tipped. and they got poured out on Catholics. Jesus, really? And they were poured out on Lutherans, and they were poured out on Methodists. Do you realize that in this region right here, it is one of the only centers that still exists from the charismatic movement that is a national center to a denomination? Aldersgate. The United Methodist Charismatic Renewal Center, right up here in like Hendersonville, Goodlettsville area. It's one of the only, there's really only about two. There's a Lutheran Renewal Center in St. Paul and Aldersgate, just up the road here. How do I know that? Because I've held meetings there. 50 years ago, there was the birthing of Methodists and Baptists and Catholicists, and everybody kind of laid their labels, and they just all got together and sing in the spirit and learned to pray for one another, and we would like started to shake, and we didn't know what shaking was, and we started like prophesying, and we didn't know what prophesying was either, and it sure was good because we laid our labels aside and we met in Jesus. That's 50 years ago. 50 years ago, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon ragtag crazy people. I, 2 years ago, I started collecting the book, history books being written now today about the Jesus People movement, and I read every one of them.
So I think a picture, I'm less confused than I was before.
You have to kind of walk through this. It's a little bit of a challenging concept.
They have an alternative miracle narrative,
yep,
to the one that is delivered to us via divine revelation, the Old and the New Testaments. So whether we are modern-day Christians or first-century Christians, we are pointing to these miracles that God has done among his people, Old and New Testament, and we're saying, these are the signs that authenticate the words that are written that we have received as divine revelation.
Bingo.
Okay, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the sign that authenticates the testimony of the New Testament. That's absolutely everywhere in the New Testament.
Yep.
These folks are saying, well, yeah, but the more important stuff are the miracles that have been done in the last 50 years.
Yep. And you're going to note then, he keeps talking about the Holy Spirit somehow being outpoured 50 years ago rather than 2,000 years ago. And note the theology then that is inferred by this indiscriminate outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that theology doesn't matter anymore. The Holy Spirit just falls on Roman Catholics and Methodists and Baptists and Lutherans, and they lay aside all of their theological differences and sing kumbaya and shake together in the Spirit and pray for each other in the Spirit. This Holy Spirit that fell 50 years ago creates unity by basically saying doctrine doesn't matter. We all have a shared experience. That shared experience is what unites us regardless of our doctrinal differences. And so you'll note then that the alternative miracle narrative has a theology with it and a pneumatology with it, and it then orders the importance of theology and doctrine, and basically through this alternative miracle narrative says that theology and doctrinal differences make no difference at all. We are all united regardless of what we believe, teach, confess, or do. Doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit just indiscriminately falls on everybody, and we know this because this is the miracle that happened 50 years ago.
Isn't that really, couldn't that be a definition of Pop American evangelicalism, a religious movement united by common experience rather than shared teachings and practices?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Ultimately, it is the epitome of subjectivism, and it is extremely hostile to biblically objective and verifiable doctrines and things of this nature. And so that's, and you'll note then that what he was doing was catechizing, but he wasn't catechizing with the history of Scripture and the miracles of the Bible. He was catechizing with an alternative history, alternative miracles, and an alternative theology that flows from those miracles and experiences. And everybody was saying, amen, hallelujah, and this is absolutely true. And I'm telling you, this is the difference between an authentic $100 bill versus a Bill Clinton $3 bill. I mean, this is something completely different. And you're going to see then that where you look for the miracles to authenticate your theology is going to determine exactly what your theology is or isn't.
This helps me understand the New Apostolic Reformation movement far better, because now I see where they're coming from. They're essentially saying that just as Peter could stand there and preach as an eyewitness to things that he had seen Jesus say and do and accomplish, and then, of course, that preaching was accompanied by Peter as an apostle doing signs as well to authenticate these things. The NIR guys are saying, okay, that was good then, but now we're going to bear witness to what we have seen in our lifetimes, and we're going to claim some miracles to authenticate those. They think this is a whole new Testament, don't they?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And they've got their own unique doctrines, and they literally talk about their experiences and their doctrines in this new outpouring. They describe this as the new wineskin of God. They'll sit there and say, listen, what Martin Luther and those guys believed in, that was great for their time, but that's the old thing that God was doing. That's the old wineskin. But see, God has given us new wine and a new wineskin, and so what you're hearing him doing is recounting the miracles and experiences of the new wine that God is outpouring in the new wineskin, which means Christianity has to shed its old doctrine, its old practices, its old form, and embrace the new form, new doctrine, and new practice as this new move of the Spirit, this new outpouring of the Spirit is guiding and directing them within their experiences.
With about 30 seconds, where does Jesus fit into any of this?
He's not really necessary. However, you know, they do want people to believe in Jesus. They think that's important. But pretty much believing in Jesus, you know, for whatever reason, they don't really explain very well anymore, is the ticket that gets you into this new wineskin experience. So you got to have that, and you kind of have to check that off so that now you can truly join in this new move of the Spirit.
Give us your show notes for tonight's Fighting for the Faith, Chris.
Tonight, we are going to be looking at miraculous claims as it pertains to the ability, again, to control the weather with all these hurricanes going around, and looking at the track record of all the people who've claimed that they can control the weather, as well as looking at what people were saying regarding the September 23rd sign that was supposed to appear. We're doing some deconstructing work on that.
Tune in for Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's time to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll be taking your votes for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week right after we've played the four soundbites, giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Vote by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Soundbite of the week is next.
What do Martin Luther's 95 Theses say and mean? What's the story behind Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress? How and why are Lutherans celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this month? Find answers to these questions and more in the October issue of The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at OurSaviorsPacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.